this morning, reading from verse 1. Words up on the screen, or you can get them on your phone. Bible. In the beginning, it says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. These are amazing words as we begin our sort of continue our run-up to Christmas. Last week we thought about God's big rescue, and we looked at the genealogy that was recorded for us in Matthew. And we saw how Jesus' arrival on earth was part of God's perfect plan in terms of history and in terms of his family place. There's a real sense that throughout the Old Testament, God has been working towards this plan that finds its fulfillment in Jesus. The Old Testament isn't totally separate from the New Testament. Jesus doesn't begin something that's completely unrelated. Rather, it's a continuation. When Jesus arrives, he's continuing the story of how God and human beings will be reconciled. Sin has separated us from God. And Jesus is God's rescue plan to bring us back to him. With the arrival of Jesus, we now have this offer of forgiveness and a place in God's kingdom. It's an offer that is and remains open to all people, regardless of their background, regardless of their previous experience. And this Christmas, it's a message we want to be overflowing with. Dorothy has indicated some very easy ways we can be involved by praying for and delivering some of the cards and leaflets. But there's also the opportunities when we do events. We've got, as Stephen there indicated, the animals coming on the 22nd. We can pray for that event. If you're already signed up to help, thank you, we got you down. But if you're not, you can come along and just have a chat to people. There'll be lots of opportunities, I'm sure, at your work, in the school gate, and different places to just share with Jesus a little bit about what we believe about Christmas. You are God's messengers, and the message of Jesus is open to all still today. Throughout our nation, many people are preparing to celebrate Christmas. There's probably lights gone up in your street or Christmas trees already. And if you're engaged at all with schools, you might find that your little ones are involved somehow in a nativity play. They also happen in different churches as well. I found an old Christmas advert that combines a Christmas TV advert with a nativity play. See what you think of this. Some others in the church have already seen it, and they didn't tell me to stop, so it should be okay.
Look, Yoda's
Okay, what can you say to that, really? It's put me right off Mr. Kipling mince pies. There is a sense, isn't there, that we tend to gloss over the nativity scene and make it all look nice and rosy, as though it didn't happen, as though it's all just part of this magical feeling of Christmas. And yet, whilst we encounter the arrival of Jesus on earth, we see actually the reality, and sometimes that shocks us and makes us uncomfortable. John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. These are words that are going to guide our thoughts this morning. The Word. Well, who is he? Became flesh. Well, what does that mean? And made his dwelling among us. Well, does that say something to us today? And does that have implications for us as we approach Christmas? John begins his gospel account not with a record of Jesus' family, not even with the birth of Jesus, but rather he says this, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. Who is he? Well, the Word, we're told, was with God. The Word, in other words, is God. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was God. At Christmas, we know, of course, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and that his mum was Mary. Before we continue, though, we stop ourselves and say, well, his dad wasn't called Joseph, of course, because his dad must have been God. But actually, if we really thought about it, we'd also say, well, his mum can't really be Mary either. Jesus was not the son of Joseph, but nor was Jesus the son of Mary. Jesus is the Son of God. And that's a statement that has massive implications. Jesus is God. Sometimes when we have conversations with people about our faith, you might get a response along the lines of this. You know, well, it's really difficult for me to believe in God because you can't see God. God is invisible. When people say to us that God's invisible, we need to remember that actually in Jesus, God became visible. God was once on earth and was very real and very visible. Jesus came to earth as the image of God. Jesus came to earth and shows us what God is like. God is born amongst the mess, the sin, and the brokenness of the human world of our lives. The Word, God, became flesh. The Word, who is it? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the unique Son of God. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh. Well, became flesh. What does that mean? In the form of Jesus, God enters our world. The Message version of the Bible puts it like this. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. How do you feel this morning about God moving into the neighborhood? How would you feel this morning if we said the Son of God has moved into your next door neighbor's house? You might think, ooh, wish I hadn't shouted at the dog, the cat, everyone in general this morning just before we left for church. Or maybe it's just my house. How would you feel about the Son of God doing the shopping in Asda or getting on the train? Some of us might think, well, that would be brilliant. Because then we could really point people to Jesus because they would see him. They could go and meet him for themselves. Other of us might feel a little bit uncomfortable with the thought that Jesus could see everything that's going on, a rather stressful run-up to Christmas. Is there a sense sometimes this morning where actually, even though we say we follow Jesus, we'd much rather have the Jesus bit and the life bit separated. So it's okay to sit in church this morning and say, sing songs and listen to words and say, yeah, we believe in Jesus. But actually, when it comes to work tomorrow or the day-to-day stresses of family life this afternoon, we're going, actually, that's quite different. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We cannot separate Jesus from the mess and orderliness of our normal days. John wants to get across to us that God moved into earth and made his dwelling among us. The separation between the holy God stuff and the messed up ordinary day-to-day stuff is smashed as Jesus is born in a stable, cave thing in Bethlehem. God's rescue plan for humanity involved God coming to earth, taking on flesh, and making his dwelling among us. As God arrives on earth, we find that people are doing two distinct things. There's kind of one group of people, probably the vast majority, let's face it, who are going about their ordinary day-to-day lives. Life is a struggle. There are food to prepare. There are bills to sort out. There is work to be done. There is no time, in a sense, for this heavenly-minded stuff. Life is too busy and stressful to think all the time God thoughts. I wonder if we recognize this in people perhaps we know. We would like to share with them something about the Christmas message. We'd like to invite them along to a church thing, but they're just always too busy, aren't they? They just never seem to make the time for God. So you have one group of people who are too busy for God. And then there's the other group who were looking for a sign. They recalled the stories of old, stories and traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation, carefully preserved. Day by day, they thought of God and they looked for God's rescue plan. They were in a minority, that was true, in terms of thinking about God every day. Many dismissed their religiosity, if that's a word, as being irrelevant for the modern age. But they kept looking all the same. And you know, we can kind of understand when people who are so busy miss God. Too busy doing the ordinary stuff, they fail to see God because they're not even looking. And I guess we can get that. But what we might find harder to understand this morning is that those who were looking failed to see God. When we read that the Word became flesh, we're actually reading a very scandalous statement. Those who were looking for God expected God to come in a most recognizable form. They expected him to arrive in majesty and power. The King of Kings was expected to arrive with an army of angels and to overthrow the Roman occupiers. People looked for an unmissable Messiah. Shocking to us, perhaps, but in looking for the unmissable, they missed the truth. The Word became flesh. The Word, who is he? The Word is Jesus, God's Son, the Son of God. The Word became flesh. What does that mean? God came to earth and took on human form and made his dwelling among us. Well, God choosing to live among us has huge implications. God arrived as a baby. In arriving as a baby, Jesus took on our weaknesses, our limitations. In coming as flesh, Jesus took on our ability to love and be loved. In arriving as he did, Jesus took on our needs for relationships and the possibility of rejection. And although Jesus did not sin just like us, he was tempted. In Jesus, God limited himself to be like us. Pretty incredible. Christmas is a season of joy and celebration. And yet at the same time as we're saying that, we know that for others it can be a really difficult time because it is a season that exposes our failings and weaknesses. As people gather with friends and families, we know that others will experience loneliness. As we talk about families around the Christmas tree, we know there might be arguments in families that are together and there may be broken families elsewhere. As we've already said, there are divisions in our nation, even as we run up to Christmas. At Christmas, the rawness, the reality of being human, and our failure to live tinsel-covered perfect lives can hit home hard. As a dog chews the Christmas tree, as the kids argues over who got what, I want to know that God is not remote and distant. As the night before Christmas turns into the nightmare that never ends, I want to know that God did more than offer words of comfort and cheerful good wishes. As the news becomes darker and the divisions ever greater, I want to do more than string up some lights and wish everyone happy holidays. And that dissatisfaction, that inability for us humans to create perfect lives, is exactly why the Word became flesh. In a dark world, Jesus comes alongside us, offering us true light. One of the descriptions Jesus would give himself, I am the light of the world. And just like then, many in the world failed to recognize him. Some were simply too busy doing other stuff, and others who were looking in the wrong places. Just like then, today, many will refuse to receive Jesus. Yet verse 12 tells us, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I think as we approach Christmas, there is a danger, isn't there, that we're just trying to get through this season of merriment and all sorts of different things going on. And yet we, this morning, here in this building, we have this good news about Jesus. Collectively, we follow Jesus and we try to do as he asks. We may mess up. We may get it wrong, but that just shows we're only human. And God knows what it's like to be us. And in sending us Jesus, he sent us forgiveness, and he leaves us with an incredible good news message. And I wonder, as we approach Christmas, if we know people, perhaps people in our family or friends, people we encounter in our work or in the spaces we inhabit day by day, that it would just be great if they could know Jesus too. And maybe for some of us, it's only just a case of a simple invite. We've actually had big conversations with them. They just need a little invite, a little gentle nudge to come this direction. For others of us, it may be such a big leap to see these people come to faith that we can barely imagine it happening. And maybe there's a challenge this morning for us to pray to God and to ask name by name for these people to come to hear something, come to receive the good news of Jesus this Christmas. John wrote this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Let's take a moment to pray. And Lord Jesus, as we pray this morning, we thank you that you understand, you know what it's like to be one of us, because in Jesus you were. And it's difficult for us to get our brains around this, that you limited yourself. You could have swept in power, you could have made it quite clear to everybody who you were. But you came in and you allowed yourself to be ignored, avoided. You allowed yourself to be rejected and eventually sent to a cross. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that it was God's rescue plan you fulfilled, so that us, broken and sinful as we are, could be reconciled and call ourselves this morning children of God. And Lord, as we get ready to go through Christmas, we pray that this good news will overflow from us to those we connect with on a regular basis. And maybe there are people in our family, people we know or friends we have, that we just love them to know Jesus. And so just in the quietness, we want to bring these names to you, Lord Jesus, and say, can you this Christmas do something amazing in their lives that will lead them to know you and to know your good news for real? So come, Lord Jesus, have your way among us this Christmas, that we may know the reality of your birth, your life, your death, and your resurrection. And that promise too, that just as you came when many weren't expecting, you will return. So keep us faithful and faith-filled, we pray. Amen.